see some apostolic church in Yorkville, Pentecostal, Lighthouse Church of Ottawa, FAC of Aurora. Thank you so much. If I missed anyone, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming and helping us. We take time, and we think it's right, it's appropriate to take services towards the end of the school year. I know young people are excited that summer is here, and only for some, only a few more days. Some have already out, but for others, just a few more days before summer break. And we started this last year. Brother and Sister Craig are doing a wonderful job here, the youth of this church, and we want to continue it on. Yes, that's right. Staff meeting as we were coming up with who we wanted to come and be a part of this Engage youth services. Brother Craiger mentioned Brother Nate Romer's name, and I've heard nothing but good about him. Had an opportunity to meet him last year when we first came here, and I do know this. I know he's got a great first name. Had opportunity to fellowship with him on Wednesday. He did a great job, phenomenal job here on Wednesday night ministering the young people of this church. One thing that I noticed in conversation with him and his ministry is that he's real. He's real. Doesn't try to put on any airs, not flashy show. He's just real. And young people need people who are real in their lives. Who can be real with them in a loving way, let them know, hey, we're here for you. We're here to help you. We're here to lead you and guide you. And it is an honor to have Brother Romer and his family. Thank you for coming and being in service with us. And FAC of Aurora, thank you for allowing him to come and minister unto us. And we just want him to take his liberty in the pulpit tonight and minister unto us yet again. Brother Romer, God bless you. Thank you so much for agreeing to come.
Amen, amen. God bless you tonight. Why don't we stand to our feet one more time? If you're unable to, don't feel bad. I'm just inviting you. I'm not commanding you. But we are so honored that you are here with us. I'm honored to be here. We had a great time in the house of the Lord Wednesday night. Felt the Lord really spoke into my life. I was blessed. I was ministered to. I had great conversation with some of you fine folks. And it was a pleasure and an honor to be here with you and then to come back again. It's good to see some folks from our home church. That's right, Cornelius. You better stand up, boy. I bought you one too many hamburgers for you to sit down on me right now. So, did y'all know that this is officially hamburger month? I was surprised. I thought every month was hamburger month. But this is officially hamburger month, so I don't know. We'll make up for it somehow. You still got a few days left to get in on the action. But it's good to see each and every one of you here. To other churches that are represented, God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Good to see all the way from sunny San Diego, my dear friend, Sister Dorothy over there, 91 years young. Hey, man, we got to talking Wednesday night, and she's something else. You got to keep an eye on her, so... Anyways, it's always great to meet new people and to know, you know what, here's what I love. When we come together like this, see, some people don't get out much. And when you come together in a service like this, you have to realize and you say, you know what, I'm not in this thing all by myself. But there are other people, there are other believers, and it is a great thing to be a part of the family of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm thankful that wherever I go, the geography, it might change, the landscape might change, but I can always find fellow believers of like precious faith. And it is great to be here with you guys today, and especially my little Ava down there. My family's here, Livia, Nicholas, Sarah. Show everybody that iPad case you got there. That's real cute. So that's how she rolls right there. So, amen. But it is a blessing to be here with you guys in the house of the Lord tonight. Before we go any further, the worship team has done a fantastic job setting the atmosphere and the tone. I appreciate the work that has gone into this week with Brother Sister Craiger, and of course your fine pastor and his family, and everything that they do to support the youth of this community, of this church. Amen. And we've got so much to be thankful for. But I believe that God can do something really spectacular in this service for us tonight. So if you would join me, and let's just pray just an overall blessing on the remaining portion of this service. God, we just come before you tonight. Lord, we're humbled and honored to be here one more time in your presence. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just begin to open up the windows of heaven and begin to just let your precious anointing, let your precious spirit begin to descend down into this house tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I don't want to go one step further in this service until we just know for sure, until everybody in this place could acknowledge your presence. Lord, whether we're familiar with it or not, but God, I just pray that other believers, God, that are here, that know the deal, that know how this works, God, that we would just begin to lift up a voice of triumph, that we begin to lift up our voice, God, and to begin to worship you, Lord, that we know that worship creates an atmosphere. Lord, worship is a spiritual invitation for your presence to show up in this place, in this building tonight, God. No doubt there are many needs, Lord, both from young people and adults alike. And I pray that they would be ministered to, God. I pray that they would reach out, Lord, that we would come to you with an open mind and an open heart in the precious name of Jesus, in the name that is above every name. Can somebody say the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord, Father. I'm in love with you, Lord, and I thank you, God, that your love is available to each and every person that is here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, how many of you know there's just something about the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus, yes, hallelujah, the enemy is defeated. And we will shout it out, Lord. We will shout out your name, Lord. We shout out your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you. And you can be seated in the name of the Lord. Thank you for bearing with me and standing here for a few moments tonight. We talked about the theme of this week and the service from Wednesday and the theme of what this youth week is all about. And I love the way Pastor Wells put it about engaging and confronting your enemies. And another look at the word engage, as I presented to you Wednesday night, would mean also to get caught. I said, you know, the old iPhone app dictionary you can use to look up the meaning of the word engage. It will tell you this: to make sure the gear is engaged. And I was humored at the very thought of the word engaged meaning to get caught. I wonder if anybody in here has recently been proposed to. Hopefully by not a... Okay. Sister Kothop, well, great to have you here in the house of the Lord tonight. See, that's what you get for raising your hand over there. Well, when her mom and dad get back from Israel, well, they're going to have a little bit of news to find out that their daughter is engaged. So, you know, what we say when we hear that somebody is engaged, now that we know what this means, that essentially what has happened is this. They've been caught. They've been captured. Friend, it's over. No turning back now. You know, like a bear trap, you've just been engaged. You have been caught. So the next time you hear a young couple describe the engagement process, you just have to kind of look at them and shake your head a little bit and say, brother, sister, I know what just happened to you. You just got caught. And, of course, some people, they want to get caught, but that's a whole other story. But when we think about the essence of being engaged and getting caught, I love how the Word of God puts it. It doesn't necessarily use the word engaged, but the first scripture that came to my mind was when Paul wrote to the Philippian church about the apprehension of Christ and his quest to be apprehended and then to also apprehend Christ. The Word of God says this, bear with me, yea, doubtless, he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now this is the verse that we're really going to focus a lot of our attention on tonight, because tonight we're talking about being in pursuit of God. Wednesday night we talked about being in pursuit of God, but tonight we're going to talk about being in pursuit by God. In other words, God is pursuing after you. Wednesday night we said we need to pursue after God. Tonight we're talking about that fact that we are in pursuit by God, that he is kind of trying to chase us down. Verse 10 says, that I may know him. Everybody say that. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Say it with me. And the power of his resurrection. Now here we go. And the fellowship of his suffering. Go ahead, say it. It might hurt to say it. And then finally, you don't have to repeat after me anymore. But being made conformable unto his death. If by any means, here's where we kind of get this engagement concept. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, just to be clear, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, or engage that, for which also I am apprehended of, engaged of, Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And we talked Wednesday night about the importance of our personal, individual pursuit of God, that we need to apprehend him. It is in your best interest for you to spend the rest of your life in pursuit of God, to try to catch him, to try to get as much of him as you possibly can in your life, to engage him, that we need to pursue after him with everything that is within us, from the youngest to the eldest in this room, with everything that is in us. I have conversations occasionally with Pastor Kothop, who pastored here many, many years ago. And hearing him say, I believe he's 77 years old. I think he mentioned the other day, 77 years old. And he's still talking about the daily pursuit that he has of God. That he's not just shoved it into neutral and just going to coast on into glory. But that here all these years later, after pursuing God, he hasn't given up just yet. He's still in his pursuit of God. And some of you know what I'm talking about here tonight. So with everything that is in us, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let me just remind you and encourage you that nothing should stand in your way or interfere with your pursuit of God. Nothing should stand in your way. Don't matter what his name is. Don't matter what her name is. Nothing should stand in your way of your pursuit of God. And I firmly believe that God has called his church, the church of the living God, to be a church of excellence. To be a church that is committed to excellence. That in everything that we do, we strive to be excellent. Not for our glory, but for his glory. Because everything that you and I do should be a reflection of the life of the good Lord Jesus that is living within us. Amen? But in our quest to pursue God, we must be driven. We must be motivated to pursue after him, like a wild, untamed animal in its quest for survival, in its quest to find the closest watering hole, in the barren deserts of Africa, in their quest, in the great migration, everything that those animals are in pursuit of, it's after one thing, it's after water. Their instinct drives them. There's no explanation for it. Scientists can't rationalize it and figure out all the dynamics as to why they move and when they move and how they move, but they just know that there is an instinct way down deep inside of those beast that drives them and that motivates them to move towards something that they hunger for and that they thirst for. And that's what David was talking about in the book of Psalms when he said, as the deer pants after the water, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Everything that is within me, I am hungering for you, God. I am thirsting for you, God. And in order to pursue after him, a quick recap of what we talked about, just to make sure everybody's caught up from Wednesday night, was this. We must be willing and able to forget our past. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on what we talked about Wednesday, but just to review, we need to be willing and able to forget our past, because some people are just hanging on to their past and they need to let go of their past. Plain and simple. God has delivered us from some of these things from yesterday and from our past. And if God has let go of them, we need to let go of them. Everybody in this room tonight will be given the opportunity to bring their needs, to bring their issues, to bring their sins to an altar, to bring them to an altar of sacrifice, to lay down their burden. And God forbid that you would drag them up here and God deliver you and then you drag them back out of this church into your car and take them back home. That is not God's will and that is not God's plan for you. It is God's plan and it is His will that you would be delivered of your burdens, that you would be delivered of your sins and set free from the captivity that the enemy has held you in. We went on to say that until you forget and let go of your past, it will be impossible for you to boldly begin to reach into your future. Remember, I used the monkey bars as an illustration. And I did have somebody in the house that validated my story about the razor blades on the monkey bars. If you don't know, check in with Brother Alex after church. And he will verify everything I said. He will even send you to the proper website in order for you to have it authenticated. Am I right? Amen. Again, it's another story for another time. But you need to boldly enter into the next phase and the next dimension, spiritually speaking, of your life that God has for you. See, sometimes we are forced out of one stage into the other. I was talking with a young man today that just had his graduation from high school. And you know what? I was kind of humored because he likened his graduation from high school as he has now been set free from a prison sentence. This young man, whether he likes it or not, is being forced into the next stage and the next dimension of his life, adulthood. He may still want to be immature and he still may want to hang on to things from yesterday and his childhood. But ladies and gentlemen, he has no choice. He's going to have to move forward into his future. He may do so timidly. Spiritually, we should not do the same. When we see, when we feel that God is pressing us and pushing us into another dimension of prayer or into another dimension spiritually, we need to boldly reach for that. We need to forget the past and begin to boldly reach forth into the new things that God has in store for us. It is God's will that you continue to grow and that you continue to mature in your faith. It's not time for you to go back, or as we say many times in the church, to backslide. But it is His will that you would continue to go forward and grow forward. And after you have forgotten your past and have determined to reach into the future, some of you know what I'm saying. You've been doing this thing for a long time. And you can vouch for us tonight that there will always be obstacles along the way. That's where that pressing spirit that Paul, I believe, was writing about. That's where we have to figure that one out. Sometimes it's not always easy to live for God. But sometimes you've got to press. Sometimes you've got to push. And sometimes you've got to persevere through difficult seasons of our life. You never know what trick the enemy tries to send your way. And as soon as you get him figured out, he'll come up with another device or another strategy, another way to try to trip you up and to get you to stumble and fall. The enemy wants you to stop dead in your tracks. He wants you to stop living for God and loving God right now, tonight. And he will do anything in his power to accomplish that. But we've got to figure this out. Whenever you're presented, young people, with obstacles along your way, you got to figure out you're going to go through them, over them, under them, around them. Whatever you've got to do, you must keep moving forward. You must keep pressing forward. In fact, I will take it a step further. There will be times over the course of your spiritual life where it will not be easy to live for God, and you will have to press and you will have to persevere. But this is the great thing about this journey, this adventure that we are on in living for God, is we have a prize that is waiting for us. There is a mark. There is something out there that we can attain. It may not be while we're here on this earth, but there is a goal. There is an eternal goal that is waiting for us. Friend, let me just remind you one more time what this is that we are pressing for. It's a little thing called heaven. That is the goal. Amen. That is what we're pressing for. That is what we're striving for. That is the mark. And the Bible tells us this. If you continue to press, if you continue to persevere, great is your reward, which is in heaven. Amen. Isn't that good news? That we know that there's something out there that we can reach for. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we thank God for that great reward which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we have to realize tonight, our mission tonight and our objection tonight in our pursuit by God, is that you need to understand that God desperately wants to apprehend you. God desperately wants to catch you. He desperately wants to engage you. He wants to get caught with you so bad. He wants to catch you so bad, but unfortunately, he sometimes has to catch up with you. He wants to catch you, but unfortunately, he has to try to catch up with you because for some unknown reason, humanity has always tried to flee the presence of God. So why? Why, I ask, do we run from him? This happens on so many different levels. This happens to the unbeliever. This happens to the seasoned saint of God that has sat on a church pew for years or maybe even decades, and then God starts calling. You know, God's still calling people. And let's not be confused here. God's calling is not just to stand behind a pulpit. First and foremost, God's call, it's God's will that everybody just be saved. But beyond that, God calls people to a variety of ministries based on your giftings, based on your skills, based on your talents and your abilities. And God will call you to do something that he knows that you can be successful at. And so whether you're 10 or 20 or 70 or 90, there just might be a calling that God has on your life. And you need to pray about it. And you need to seek the counsel of the man of God in your life so that you can be directed and don't make the mistake that so many have done before, and that is to run from the callings of God. It is a privilege. It is an honor. Whatever the capacity is that God might be calling you to serve in, it is a privilege and an honor. And don't run from it. So Paul wrote in Philippians 3 and 10 in the King James Version, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And we sang about it tonight. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And the first thing that Paul wanted to address was that if you are ever caught by God, you are the direct beneficiary. You are the lucky one. You are the blessed one because you will have the chance to get to know him. Now that sounds so generic and that sounds so superficial, but do you understand how awesome it is that the God, the creator of the universe, he wants to know you? I mean, he doesn't want to have a relationship with you through the priest or through the, you understand? I mean, he wants, it's an intimate thing. He wants to get to know you individually and personally. You don't have to go to Pastor Wells and say, Pastor, I'd like to talk to God about some things. Here are the things that I want to talk about. Tell him so that he can turn around and tell them to God. That's not the way that the God of the Scripture works. The God of the Scripture says, if you want to talk to me, I am available to you. Call out my name. Call to me in the darkness of the night. Call to me late in the midnight hour. I know you. I am desperate for a relationship with you, and you can know me. In this day and age that we're living in, one of my great favorite pastimes, as many of you would agree with me, is the power of social media. And maybe it's a blessing, maybe it's a curse, I don't know. But it is not uncommon for people, simple peasant people like myself, to have brushes with greatness via the internet. Via Twitter. Via social media. And, you know, 20 years ago, it was these chat rooms. And we were always talking about, preaching about these chat rooms. And, you know, you have to go into AOL. You remember? You dial up. And you'd wait, and you'd wait, and wait. Eventually something, and you could log into AOL. Don't hate. I still got an AOL account, AOL email account. Don't hate. Don't judge me for that. It's okay. I'm going to take that thing to my grave. It'll be on my tombstone, regunate@AOL.com. But we can have these brushes with greatness with people via the internet, via Twitter. In fact, I'll just have you know, that's happened to me on a few occasions. I mean, there's been a couple times, well, three times, actually four times, but who's counting, that I have had a brush with greatness
through Twitter.
Let me share these with you. Has anybody else ever been contacted by some kind of superstar or celebrity? Not that they sought you out, but you said something, you tweeted something, you posted something, and they responded or retweeted. Is that okay? That's my boy right there. Alex, anytime I need validation for anything, I'm just going to look your way, okay? And here's my four stories. The first time was a food-related response for someone on Twitter. Get this, this high-profile preacher, he has over 200,000 followers on Twitter. And he said he was coming to the Chicago area, and I just threw out there and suggested that, hey, listen, while you're here, he was talking about burgers, and of course, I'm a burger connoisseur. That's my thing. That's what I'm an expert at. And I said, you should try out Portillo's. And guess what? The man with over 200,000 followers on Twitter responds at Reginate, hey, great idea. Think I'll check it out the next time I'm there. I mean, I felt proud of myself. I got contacted by this guy, mega church pastor, superstar, celebrity, Christian personality, author, book writer, speaker at all the big conferences, and he retweeted me. He tweeted right back at me. I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then, on another occasion, second time was another retweet conversation I had via Twitter about food. I don't know if you're beginning to pick up on a pattern here, but in fact, one of my favorite restaurants in the entire area, I told Pastor Wells about it. I'm going to have to take him there and check it out sometime. This burger joint, I think the closest one to here is maybe in Naperville, and it's called Tom and Eddie's. Several people have experienced Tom and Eddie's before, so they know what I'm talking about. And so I love Tom and Eddie's. It's the best burgers, in my opinion, which is very good opinion, strong opinion, in the area. Well, it just so happens that there's a couple guys, again, out in the Christian world conference circuit, and they're called the Skit Guys. And if you've ever done a drama or something in your church, there's a good chance that if you went and found it on the internet, these guys had something to do with it. They write these great scripts and these great monologues and dialogues, and they're just really awesome. They're really incredible at what they do. Well, guess what? Their names are Tom and Eddie. I mean, you see where this is going, right? I mean, it's so obvious anybody could have done it. But I took the risk, and I tweeted those guys, took a picture of the good-looking, juicy hamburger, the blue chip. It's got a little chip on it, and it's got some avocado slices on it. Okay, I'm getting carried away here. But I took a picture of that burger with the sign in the background, Tom and Eddie's, and I tweeted it to those guys, and guess what? They responded to me. Great idea at Reginate. We'll need to try it out the next time we're there. And, of course, I offered my services. Hey, fellas. If you'd like, I'd love to take you there. Contact me. I mean, am I that desperate for attention and validation? Now, third time was by a man that we probably all know of. That's right. I even saved the tweet. Brother Wells may be back there looking at my phone right now. I even saved the tweet. In fact, it wasn't a tweet. It was a direct message. Guess who it was from? Oh, you'll never guess. The Reverend, Honorable, Awesome Man of God, Anthony Mangan. That's right. He sent me a direct message. I'm not kidding you. I'll show it to you after church. We had a service, a leadership meeting at our church, and Pastor Brent said, we're going to show this awesome DVD that Brother Anthony Mangan preached on, and it was powerful, and it was moving, and everybody was weeping and bawling, just like we do every time we hear Brother Mangan preach. And so after the thing ended, I just tweeted out, man, what a great move of God at FAC Aurora. Brother Anthony Mangan did an awesome job, and he tweeted me back direct message and said, love you, brother. He said, love you, brother. I told my wife, I'm like, he doesn't even know me, but he loves me. That's right. That's right. Me and Brother Mangan, we're just like this. And finally, and last but not least, a couple of tweets I had back and forth. I mean, I almost had it would almost be considered a conversation with an ESPN personality. He's got almost 500,000 followers on Twitter. And man, he and I were going back and forth, boom, boom, boom. Well, that happened like twice. But I mean, it felt like it went on for an hour. Now, I said all that to say this. I know of these guys, but I don't really know them. And they don't even know of me, right? To say that we have some kind of relationship, I can't even exaggerate that point. We don't know each other. If we were walking down the street and we passed each other, they would not stop and ask me for my autograph. They would not stop and say, hey, get in this picture and take a selfie with them and I in the picture. They could care less. They don't have any idea who I am. I can't even categorize them as even a mere acquaintance because we really don't know each other. My point is this. Just because you occasionally talk to someone doesn't mean that you know them. Think about it in spiritual terms. Just because you occasionally talk to someone doesn't mean that you really know him. Just because you occasionally have some kind of interaction with him doesn't mean that you really know him. Just because you occasionally visit his house doesn't mean that you know him. But Paul said that I may know him. Paul said, this is kind of a big deal. I'm putting together this verse in the Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It's going to have about 4 points. And one of them is going to be this, that I may know him. Folks, if you can ever get to a place in your life where people could recognize you as a person, and maybe they would identify you, and they'd say, you know that Brother Cornelius that goes to West Aurora High School? I believe he is an individual that really knows Jesus. That he doesn't just know about Jesus, but that he really knows Jesus. Then if somebody would say that about you, if that's the reputation that you have developed in your town, in your community, or in your school, then my friend, you have accomplished something significant. You have done something worthwhile. Let me push it just a little bit further here. It's more than just head knowledge. It's more than just being able to quote the scriptures back and forth. But it's about being able to say, I know him and I have experienced him deep down inside of my heart and in my soul. There's an intimate level that God wants to have with each and every one of us. Paul went on to write, he said, that I may know him. And then he said this, and the power of his resurrection. You need to be able to say that you have experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I would say that's a good idea. If you have ever visited an apostolic church, you should be able to say that you have experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It really scares me and bothers me that come Sunday, a couple days from now, they will gather in churches all across this nation by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands. And unfortunately, there will be people that will put on their Sunday best and go to church, and they have never really ever even experienced the power of his resurrection. Now they hear about it, they talk about it, they see teaching, they see videos, they see other images about the power of his resurrection, but they've never actually experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The power of his resurrection to me precisely means that you no longer have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave to sin. Just because sin has captured you doesn't mean that you have to spend the rest of your life in bondage. There are people that have attended church for years and years and years, and they say that they just can't seem to conquer, fill in the blank, whatever the sin might be that is in their life. And I just have to say this. My response is this. You know what? Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Hang in there and don't give up just yet. I say this, the more of Jesus that you have in your life, the more that you know him, the more that you've experienced the power of his resurrection, the more of a chance that you have to conquer your sin, the better your chances are of being an overcomer. But here's the catch. Many people, listen to this, many people want to experience the power of the resurrection without first experiencing a death. Now, I've thought about that before. I thought, man, it would be awesome to actually see with my own eyes somebody, maybe in a church service, be resurrected from the dead. And then I thought, well, what if I asked, would there be any volunteers who would like to give this thing a shot? We'd all love to see the resurrection of the dead, but I don't think any of us volunteer to be the one that would try this thing out on. And see, spiritually, it's no different. A lot of people want that resurrection. They want to feel those goosebumps. They want to feel the Holy Ghost. But they don't want to ever die to their sins. They want their sin. You know, they feed their sin. They water their sin. They fertilize their sin. They actually do things in their life to enable their sin. But if we want to experience the power of the resurrection, we need to first be able to die out to our sins. And if you're struggling with this, and if there's some things that you just can't seem to shake and to get rid of, you need to acknowledge the fact, first and foremost, that you, just like all of us at one time or another, are dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And then pray and wait for God to resurrect us from those trespasses and those sins. Pardon me just a moment. Let me preach a scripture to you that is found in the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to preach it to you from a different translation than the King James Version. So it just sounds like kind of modern day English. In Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6 says in the New Living Translation. Now listen to me. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Once you were dead of your disobedience and your many sins. Now listen, it says you used to live in sin just like the rest of us, obeying the devil. Well, that might be your problem right there. Obeying the devil? Seriously, that's an option for you? I mean, just as a basic rule, anytime the devil tells you to do something, you just need to do precisely the opposite thing. Just as a general rule. Because I cannot imagine the enemy ever telling you something or whispering something into your ear that would be good and healthy for you. I must go on. Obeying the devil, the commanders of the powers in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. But God is so rich in mercy. Come on, has anybody ever experienced that before? But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. My friend, that is the resurrection power. When he gave us life, when he raised Christ from the dead. The scripture goes on to say, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus Christ. And remember this, united. Remember when I talk about union here in a moment with Jesus Christ. Sometimes, here's the attitude. Here's the approach we need to take when we start dealing with our sins. And none of us are exempt from this. We need to every once in a while just turn around, face our fears, face our sins, face our iniquities, whatever you want to call them. And look them square in the eye, and this is just kind of the funny way I'm thinking about it. Just look at them and say, you're dead to me. Spirit of lying, you're dead to me. Hate, you're dead to me. Lust, you're dead to me. Bitterness, you're dead to me. Rebellion, you're dead to me. That is the attitude that we need to get. We don't need to facilitate our sins, but we need to get rid of them. We need to terminate our sins. We need to make sure that we have realized that we were once dead with and in our sins, but through God's grace and through his mercy, we can experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now here's the catch. Not your sins and not your trespasses. See, we all love the resurrection. Lord, resurrect me. Lord, resurrect all of me. But hold on just a second. Don't resurrect your sins. I keep coming back to this. It seems like it was woven through some things I said Wednesday, and it's coming back to me again tonight. Is that we want to resurrect things that God has already put under the blood. The things that God has already cast into the sea of forgetfulness, or however you want to explain it or describe it. And we keep going back. And we keep picking those things up and resurrecting them. God wants to resurrect you. He does not want to resurrect your past. He does not want to resurrect your sins. He only wants to resurrect you. So don't waste your time. And certainly don't waste God's time by trying to resurrect your sins or the sins of others. Don't remind others of their past. That's not your job. Don't waste your time reminding people. You remember when you used to be such a reprobate. You used to be such a rank sinner. Don't do that to them. Don't discourage them. God's not resurrecting their sins. God's not resurrecting their past. So why should we? God has been and always will be interested in resurrecting people, not their sins. Moving along, fellowship of his suffering. Now this one here, this is not something that we necessarily advertise on our church signs. Welcome to the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. Come suffer with us. I mean, when it comes to church marketing, there's certain things we just, you know, kind of sweep under the rug there a little bit. But part of being pursued and apprehended by God is understanding and accepting the fellowship of his suffering. Instead of focusing so much on suffering, I want you to focus on, in this scripture and in this context, the fellowship aspect. Because think about it, being united with Christ, this union, that's what fellowship is all about. A union, a bringing together of maybe a group or of two or more people, sharing life. We love that aspect of church about fellowship. I mean, we can get people to come out and fellowship when we can't get them to come to a prayer meeting. But people love to fellowship, and that's just who we are. That's just how we are made up, sharing each other's cares, concerns, interests, maybe even helping a brother or sister through a difficult season of life. And in the context of this verse, and I've got to hurry, sharing the burden that Christ bore as he made his way to Calvary's Hill. We talked about it Wednesday night, about all the pain and the suffering that Christ went through as he went through his experience before and up to the cross. But see, we talk about just the physical pains that Christ suffered, the spear being jammed into his side, the crown of thorns placed on his head, his arms and hands being extended and nailed into a cross, his feet being nailed into the cross. And we think so much about just the physical pain and suffering of our precious Lord and Savior. But some would even suggest that the sufferings he went through were not just physical, but they were emotional, and they were to some degree even spiritual. Because the pains that Christ was dealing with maybe was not just on the outside, God bless him, but they were also maybe even on the inside. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. When God catches us, when we are engaged, fully engaged with God, we are engaged in this fellowship, this holy, blessed union of his suffering. And his suffering included things perhaps about the pain and the agony of one of his children that he had rescued from the pits of sin, turning their back on him. Perhaps the pain that he endured on Calvary was the internal. Maybe it was not literally, but figuratively, his heart breaking because he knew that there would be people that he would pour his spirit into and they would turn their back on him. Or he knew that there would be people in a youth service on a Friday night, right about the time that school is going to shut down for the year, and they would ignore him and they would reject his advances into their lives. I believe with all my heart that when you're apprehended by God, your thoughts will begin to change. Your motives will begin to change. And while you may have once been driven by your selfish motives and desires, all of a sudden you can develop. You don't even know how it got there. You don't even know where it came from. But this sense of empathy for those that are spiritually lost and that are dying all around us. So don't reject this blessed union. Don't reject this fellowship with Christ. Don't be scared or intimidated because of the suffering aspect and the suffering component of the fellowship with Christ. Because the awesome thing about it is this. When you accept the fellowship of his suffering, he in turn will accept the fellowship of your suffering. I don't want to get to a place where the church is all about what God can do for me, but let's just be honest, folks. God is there for us. When we accept the fellowship of his suffering, I believe that he will be there for us to accept the fellowship when we are suffering. Even though sometimes, what did the psalmist say? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God is still with us. God understands and he sees the risk that you have taken to join up with him and to be a part of the fellowship of his suffering. And the feeling is mutual. He will be there for you in the lowest moments, in the darkest moments of your life. I promise you that God will be there for you. My last point is this. Being conformable unto his death. A God that is trying to pursue us. When we are made conformable unto his death, it is all about us being filled and staying filled with his Spirit. And then going on and obeying his commandments and living for him. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what Engage 2014 is all about. My whole focus tonight has been that somebody would be made conformable unto his death. Now, I had to look into this a little bit because this didn't just make a whole lot of sense to me initially. But his death was designed to provide a way of escape for us out of this ungodly, unrighteous, and miserable world that we're living in. And the only way that that can be accomplished is through salvation. Biblical salvation, not man-made salvation, but biblical salvation. What does the Word of God say? Not what does the TV personality with the gold watch and the slicked back hair say, but what does this book say? Biblical salvation in that we follow what the Scripture teaches about the essentiality of being born again. John 3 teaches that being born again of the water and of the Spirit. I mean, and John doesn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room because he says this, you must be born again. I don't know how that translates into other languages, but in good old English, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. You must be born again. It's all about spirit baptism, evident by speaking in a heavenly language. It's all about water baptism. And I double check, there is water in there. And you can be baptized tonight by immersion in the name of Jesus. And that's what John said. You don't believe me? Check it out for yourself, John chapter 3. You must be born again. You must be born of the water, and you must be born of the Spirit. But this is why in churches all across the globe, there are empty pews. But it is also the same reason why jails are full to capacity and running over. It is also the same reason why rehab clinics are on a wait list only. It is also the same reason that psychologists and counselors and therapists are working overtime and extra hours to keep up with the pace because humanity feels that they're losing their grip on life. Why? I submit to you this, because we are not willing to conform to his death. Now, make it real plain. Ultimately, what this really comes down to is this. It's about a death to self. Being made conformable unto his death. What do you think Jesus Christ had to fight and suffer through more than anything was the reality that there was no other way that he had to die. We have to die to ourselves. I ask you to stand with me tonight. If you're like me, let me just put myself under the microscope. But if you're like me, I like to do things my way. You like to do things your way. Let me just ask you, how's that working out for you? If you could ask the couple coming out of marriage counseling, how's that working out for you? Is God a part of the equation? I'm changing in my old age here, but, you know, years ago I thought, you know, hey, just suck it up. We can get through this, anything, you know. But if you need help from somebody, get help. But hey, don't forget God. I mean, remember that whole bit about the fellowship of his suffering? Hey, he wants to be a part of this thing too. I don't have a magic wand that I can wave and all your troubles and all your problems are going to go away. Paul spent the first part of his life apprehending Christians. But then he had this kind of amazing conversion. And then he dedicated the rest of his life to apprehending Christ. Let me say it again. First part, apprehending Christians. Second part, apprehending Christ. He spent the first part of his life bringing death to others, but the last part of his life bringing death to himself. He spent the first part of his life running away from God, the last part of his life running to God. It's never too early, and it's never too late for you to begin to engage in the process of apprehending God. God that loves us, I can't even explain to you how much your Lord and Savior loves you. But He is in pursuit of you. He is in pursuit of somebody here tonight. My prayer all this week has been, God, let somebody quit running from you. Let them slow down just enough, God, where you can apprehend them. And it don't take long, folks. Friends, it does not take long. And all of a sudden, when you begin to deny yourself, when you give death to yourself. See, that's the awesome thing about the Holy Ghost. Let me just take a moment. Bear with me, church. Let me just explain this publicly here. See, receiving the Holy Ghost has so much to do with us giving up control and surrendering control. You don't believe me? Think about the very essence of receiving the Holy Ghost. And when we talk about the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost, how do we know that a person has received the Holy Ghost? Because we see them losing control of their tongue, speaking in a heavenly language. What does the writer of the book of James say? What is the most difficult member of our body to control? It's the tongue. Is it just me, or is that kind of ironic that God takes something that is so difficult, and when we do lose control of it, all of a sudden it's like, hey, there's God. Receiving the Holy Ghost, let's not forget, this is a supernatural thing. I'm not going to give you a manual and say, follow these 17 steps and you'll learn how to speak in tongues. It doesn't work like that. It is a supernatural thing. It is about you letting go. It is about you giving up control of your life so that God can be in control. So that God, in His quest, in His pursuit of you, He can finally catch you. Just stop running. Surrender. Give yourself to Him tonight in the name of Jesus. Why don't you pray with me? I need some prayer warriors. I need some intercessors to help us right now. I'm going to wait just a minute before we open this altar up. Oh, my God. Lord, maybe my prayer right now is real selfish, but I want you, God, to just show up in this place in a really profound, supernatural way. God, if you have to do it in a way that we just can't refuse you, then do it. Lord, I don't want anybody to reject you tonight. God, I don't want anybody to be afraid of you tonight. Lord, I know that sometimes you, God, I've learned that you have this way of kind of making us uncomfortable. But it is not a bad, unnecessary discomfort. But it is you trying to work your way into our life. And Lord, you're not going to force yourself on us. I've learned that also. But God, you're just looking for somebody. You're just looking for a dad or a mom or a son or a daughter to just throw up their hands to heaven and say, God, I surrender everything that I have to you right now. God, I'm not going to try to hang on to the stuff in my life, but I'm going to release it unto you. I'm going to let go of it, God. I'm going to give you my life tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to lift up your voice. Come on, somebody. I believe God can show up. I believe God can show out tonight. Come on, let's take one moment. Let's take one moment corporately, everybody together, and let's make sure that we spend a little moment just repenting. God, forgive me of everything that I've ever done, God. Forgive me of the way that I've talked. Forgive me, Lord, for the way that I've acted. Forgive me for my actions, God. Forgive me for my reactions. Come on, you can't bypass this step of repentance. This is where death occurs. Come on, repent of your sins. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Hallelujah. We can't bypass this step. We can't ignore this process of repentance. It is critical. God, I repent, Lord. What your repentance is doing, it is creating a space in your heart, I believe, just to dumb it down. It is creating a space in your heart so that the presence of God can move in and take up residence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm just going to ask you to kind of take a bold move right now. Lift up your hands to heaven. Come on, church, look around. Ministers, look around. We may have some people come up and pray with you. If your hand's raised up right now, I just want that to be an indication that you're praying for the Holy Ghost. Maybe a brother, maybe a sister will just kind of come up next to you. We're not trying to invade your space or invade your privacy. We don't have to know any details. But we're just going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you through this. We're going to be in fellowship with you. If you've got some other needs in your life, just raise up your hand. I believe that everybody in the church right now can start ministering to each other. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your plan was for the church, for every member to be a minister. In the name of Jesus. Not everybody has to stand up with a mic in a pulpit and preach the word or proclaim the word, but everybody can minister of themselves, giving of themselves one to another in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, allow the Lord to move you right now. Allow the Lord to use you right now. Raise up your hand if you're going through a tough time in life and you just feel like, I got to have somebody's support. I got to know that somebody's here. You're not alone, friend. You're not alone. Jesus, in your name, Lord, come to our rescue, God. Come to our rescue, God.
I need you, Jesus.
Here. I think it'd be a tragedy if we just left this place without everybody pushing through, everybody kind of pressing in and persevering. There's something about it when the people of God get together in one mind and in one accord. You know what happens when people get together in one mind and in one accord. God shows up and incredible things happen. Amen. I believe that somebody can experience a breakthrough of sorts tonight. Amen. And it doesn't just have to happen just to one person, but it can happen to an entire youth group. It can happen to an entire family. Come on, in the name of Jesus, let's continue to have that spirit of prayer. Amen. I really feel that those that are spiritually strong need to minister to those that maybe not, that are quite as strong, or that maybe would consider themselves a little weak. Come on, let's push through this in the name of Jesus. Come on, FAC Sandwich. Come on, God knows right where you are. God knows right where you are. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, that's it. Let the presence of God begin to fall in this place. Come on, that's it. It's right there in the name of Jesus. Brother Tom, pray for that young lady. Brother Tom, Brother Krager. Hallelujah, 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 Brother Krager. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is moving in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, let's get together in this. One mind and one accord. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Come on, young people. Throw up your hands to heaven. Come on, this is the moment. This is when God begins to show up. This is the moment when God begins to work in somebody's life. I believe it. Come on, let faith build. Let faith rise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here we go, come on. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I want every student to raise up their hands to heaven. If you're under the age of 18 or about 21, I want you to just raise up your hands to heaven right now. You might just be doing it because you're being respectful and obedient to what I'm asking and requesting. But I believe if you get about 30 seconds, God can begin to work in your life. In the name of Jesus. Come on, every student from this side to this side, just raise up your hands to heaven. Come on, God, we surrender everything that we have to you. We surrender everything that we have to you. God, we're not going to hold back anything. We're not going to try to be in control of our life. But we give you our all, God. We give you our all, God.
Higher, be exalted. flash of lightning, rolls of thunder. Jesus, your name is power. Breath the living water. Set upon this mystery.
That only he can.